Sunday, that means there's going to be some lucky youth that gets to preach. I don't know who that's going to be. But I think Jay, no, I mean not Jay. Oh, well, never mind. Maybe I wasn't supposed to pinpoint anybody then. That's one way to get your mouth shut. All right, once again, I'll remind you that Revelation is not a revelation of end time, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it is, what John said, plain as day. He said, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ, the entire book, and blessed are those that read this book. So we're not just reading it, we're studying it word by word, because I want a lot of blessing. Today, I want you to see Jesus Christ in everything we study, or I have failed. So just make a determination in your heart to see Jesus from beginning to end, before, after, and all the way in between. Father, this is Your Word. You promised the blessing if we study it. So we, Your people, are going to read Your Word and receive a blessing. We're going to receive revelation of Jesus Christ today. And the light that He shines on those things that are dark and light. And His light is shown on dark things today in our hearts. Let us stand corrected instantly, not condemned but corrected, so that we can move forward according to Your will. We know, God, that Your will is for us to prosper and be in health, and that our soul prospers. We want that today, Lord. It's totally up to You to reveal the Word. We avail ourselves muchly today. We open our hearts wide like a little bird and say, God, fill. Run out those things that are false and not of You. Fill it with You. And for that, we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's just start with Revelation 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. All right, now I want you to understand something. Don't look at Revelation as something that's going only going to happen in the future. Babylon, what's Babylon representative of? You remember? Confusion, that's right. The great whore, or the prostitute of the gift that God has given, the prostitution of that. It's deception, it's everything that's bad. Babylon, that's what's referring to. This scripture says that Babylon has already fallen. When did it fall? Well, it fell when you said it fell. That's when it fell. It fell when you took Jesus Christ as your Lord and forsook your flesh. That's when Babylon fell. In your life, correct? Well, supposed to. Let me give you a couple of definitions. The hold and cage are the very same words. And there are the strong place. The thing that you guarded in your life, or the sinner does, of every foul spirit, of every unclean and hateful bird. Hateful means detestable or loveless. And bird means foul. So detestable foul spirits are there. That's what we're talking about. There's no detestable bird, unless it's a buzzard, if you ever watch one of those. But anyway, we're not talking about that. Let me read my little paraphrase. Here's what the angel said. He said with a loud voice, the ones that were once strong and mighty have now fallen into the hands and control of Satan. They have become the habitation of devils and a home for false high places and false gods. You got it? That's what we're really talking about. Detestable birds, false gods, high places in your life. They've fallen. Verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. This is a strange scripture. For all nations have drunk of the wine of her wrath and of her fornication. And the kings of the earth, remember we talked about this last week, that Satan's main goal was to deceive the leadership of the world. Now that's the only way he's going to run in one false leader is that the leaders that are existing or in existence are going to be deceived by Satan. They all become in one accord and give their authority to one. That would be the Antichrist. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication. That is one word, have committed fornication. It means harlot. I mean, they prostituted their own free will and gave it to someone else. God, you know who gave you your free will? Do you remember that? God Himself gave you your free will. When you give it, if you give it to anyone else except to God, you've prostituted what has been freely given to you. You gave to someone else. You didn't give back to the one that you belong to. Have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich. I don't know. Through the abundance of her delicacies. Abundance. This is a strange word too. This is a dunamis, the word, and it means miraculous power. Yeah, dynamite. That'd be a good word for it. Miraculous power. Wow. The abundance of the miraculous power of her delicacies or her strength. Let's say it. Well, let me read this, my paraphrase. All the inhabitants of the earth have suffered by their wrongdoings. The rulers of the earth have done wrong and suffered with them. The businessmen of the earth have grown very wealthy because of the abundance of their power and the misuse that God had given them and that they had misused. All right, let's go back again. If God gives you your free will, who gives you power? See, all good, everything we relate to good, or relate good, is from God. Let me say it another way. When God was created the earth, He created it good, did He not? And did He not, in the first chapter of Genesis, did He not give you the power and authority to rule over that earth? And it was good. So the only false or dirty power there is on this earth is power that has been given by God and turned over to Satan. It's the only bad power there is. Perversion. It's power that's been perverted. What this scripture is saying is that the merchants of the earth, and you know how this works, there's many prostitute merchants on this earth. They've become very wealthy using God's power wrongly. What's God's power? The ability to think. The ability to persuade men. Did you know the ability to persuade men is part of the power God gave men? Through the foolishness of preaching is one way we're very familiar with. Teaching. Teachers will be judged very harshly because if they misuse their power. God gives you that power. Well, here comes a man that's anointed by God or given a gift by God at birth, and he misuses that. And he becomes wealthy by misusing that. This scripture is calling him a prostitute. A fornicator, having committed fornication with the great whore. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye may be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now, did you notice that scripture? Evidently, there are some people that are playing loose with God's power and God's provisions. Because He's saying, the angel's saying, come out of that great whore, that religious thing, that strong religion, that religion that takes the place of the freedom in God and Christ Jesus by law. That's religion, by the way. Religion is just a bunch of law. Come out of her. Two reasons. Don't partake in sin. And don't receive the plagues that are coming along with the sin. Ye receive means don't take hold of the plagues. We always say receive. If I reach over and I say, here, William, and he reaches out and takes it, then he's receiving it. This is saying just the opposite. It's kind of like if you'd reach up here and take this out of my pocket. That's the word receive here. Don't take hold of sin and don't take hold of the plagues that come from sin. Come out of the world, or Babylon, people of God, so that you do not become partakers of the shame and the punishment. That's the plagues. Shame and punishment. Verse 5, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. You know, fortunately for us, when we receive the forgiveness of God, our sins are not remembered anymore. But right here, there are some things that God's choosing to remember. Now, that nearly sounds like God arguing with Himself, but it's not. God will remember the great whore. That's what's being referred to here. That, you remember? Or maybe I get confused when I study. I go too far ahead and then I get confused in time. I'm going to tell you, though, there's a lake of fire prepared. It's a special place. Pond of fire would be a good definition. Where the beast and the people that convinced other people, they took the mark and they convinced other people to take the mark, they were put before anybody else. That was what I'm trying to say is that's how much God detests not only the great whore, but those that convince others to take part in it. They have a special place in the lake of fire. It's a special time frame too. He will remember her iniquities. Verse 6, reward her even as she has rewarded you. And double her double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled to her double. They looked for difficult ways to say things, didn't they? The NIV says, give back to her as she has given. That would be a law of God, right? Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. What is the cup? The cup of her, what did we talk about last week as being the cup was being full of? Abominations. Everything detestable was in that cup. And she says, drink. Drink. Now, remember what we saw on the outside? That's right. We held the cup up and all you could see was beauty. It was a beautiful golden cup. It's what a lot of the churches are presenting now. A beautiful, wonderful lifestyle. Soothing. There's no, you know, the truth is very seldom soothing. It sets you free, but it doesn't soothe. Sometimes it kind of sets your teeth on edge because you've got to do some correction. But this beautiful cup, it's what she sells and she gets you to take. You don't know it's detestable until you drink. Now, this scripture here says, I want you to double what she's been giving. I want you to double back to her. Sounds like God's a little aggravated here, doesn't it? Bad stuff. This is the instructions God is giving the angel. Evidently, the devil has been doing wrong to the messengers, our angels. Remember what I told you the word angel meant? Messenger or pastor. That's the exact definition of the word angel. Evidently, well, we've seen from the study that she doesn't like those messengers. In fact, in some instances, they were beheaded. It's part of what was in this cup, is death. Verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself. Listen to this scripture very carefully. If you don't have your Bible open, you might read this, because I'm going to probably stay on this one for a minute or two. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Now this scripture is really packed full. I had, in fact, Steve that was here recently. He was going through some real turmoil in the church that he goes. And they were basically kicking him out. And I read this scripture to him. And he missed it, I think, like you guys did. But the Holy Spirit revealed something to me in this scripture, and I want to share it with you. Let's just take it. First, I want to give you the definition, live deliciously. It just means to be luxurious, to be wanton, to be wasteful. That's what live deliciously means. I do what I want. I buy what I want. I go where I want. I say what I want. I buy the kind of house that I want. I drive the kind of car that I want. I wear the type of jewelry that I want. And I don't much care what anybody thinks. That's living deliciously. I did it my way, and I'll sing about it. That's living deliciously, luxuriously. In other words, you pamper yourself and you don't care about anyone else. Now, how do I know that means that? Look at the rest of it. The last part, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you the church as we know it today. That's a description of the church. That's why I know the great whore is referring to the church. Not the church, God's church, but what is called church in many forms, many religions, denominations. They say this to you. I sit as a queen, I am not a widow, and I will never mourn. How many of you have ever been given the left foot of fellowship out of church? Because you disagreed. One? One? We're a minority. I've never been that before. Well, I have. And this is usually the response. You'll do it my way, or you get out. Since you disagree with me and I can't convince you different, hit the road, Jack. Don't come back no more. I sit as a queen, and I'm not going to mourn. I won't mourn the loss of you. You just want... My grandmother used to tell my dad, if you don't straighten up, I'll kill you and make two more like you. Well, that's kind of the attitude I thought about some of these churches. When the Bible says that you're to leave the 99 and go after the one. But that one slipped. That was just a slip. That was something Jesus ate that day. He didn't really mean it. Now listen. I'm going to read you my paraphrase through definitions. She has spent her time living for herself only. How many churches do you know that are just there for themselves? They take the offering for themselves. They make the rules for themselves. I shared last week, we had a business meeting not too long back. And praise God, the body that was there decided that we're not going to have any rules for membership. You know what that means? That means we didn't make any rules to kick you out. We don't have any way to kick you out. That's what that really means. They didn't say you got to wear ties and shirts and certain shoes, or you got to speak a certain way, or if you don't speak a certain way, we can kick you. If there's no rules, there's no punishment. You understand what I'm saying? Is that scary to y'all? Should be. Now you got to trust God. Now you got to trust God to build the church as He sees fit. Right? And if somebody needs to be eliminated, then guess who gets asked to do it? Guess who can't do it? Us. All right. She has spent her time living for herself only and bringing glory to herself. She hath glorified herself. She has given herself to another verbally, but not in truth. She said that she would serve her husband, Jesus, then only served herself. She is not sorry. She does not intend to change. Did you get that? Well, just think about how real that statement is. Maybe it's more real to me than most, but I'm going to say it again. When my wife became my wife, she gave herself to me. I gave myself to her, but she said that I was the head of the house. According to the Bible, she said that I was the head of the house, that she would honor my decisions finally. We would discuss things, but the final decision rested on my shoulders. By the way, in case you think I'm out of order, when you gave your life to Christ, you became His bride, and you said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. And He don't change it in the physical household. That's the way marriage really is. Sorry if it's not politically correct, I'm just telling you the truth. Truth sets you free if you live in it. All right? Now, what did this queen say? This queen said, I sit as a queen. I am not a widow. I still have a husband. I don't care. I'm not sorry. I don't need my head, Jesus. I don't need to hear from Him, Jesus. I don't care about you. I got your rules and I'll use them any way I see fit. That's the great whore of the church. The church stands up and says you've got to love one another. And then the pastor takes you in the back office and shows you what love really is. Sometimes. You understand what I'm saying? I got a little letter one time that said, we don't want you here anymore. Now, I'm telling you, it was just as plain as that. We used to like you. We don't like you anymore. It didn't say that, but that's it said, we don't want you here anymore. Signed hugs and kisses. Signed, I am Christ-like. No. No, you see, I've done a lot of bad things to Jesus, and He's never once told me that. Never once. I have said to Him this right here. I said as a queen, I'm not a widow and I don't mourn. But He's never said that to me. He's never said, if you're going to be that way, hasta la bye-bye, baby. He never said that. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. That's what He says to me. Now, am I going to be part of that retaliation to Him? I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Or am I going to be the queen that says, you said, I'm a free man, so I'm free of your advice. I got your words, but I don't have to live by them. She is sorry, or she is not sorry, and she will not change. The description of the church that fits the description of the whore. A little piece of advice. I don't care if it's on television, I don't care if it's on radio, and I don't care whatever church you intend to go to. If they act like this, leave. Shake the dust off your feet. Don't give to them. Don't honor them. If there's not love in that place, leave. Because that's the primary command of every Christian, that you love one another. It doesn't say, unless you step on my toe. Now, that's not just for the church member. That's for the church. I was at a place last night, and I heard a lot of oration about, I'm the president of this thing. I built this thing. If you don't like it, you can leave. Is that a fact? Wonder where God fit in that picture. I know where He fits. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, you just wasted your time. So the prez may be wasting his time. Verse 8. Therefore, this is what happens. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. I'll go back up to the verse before. Do you want to even be identified with this? See, I want to be as far away from this attitude as I can be, because that fire might get hot enough to burn a few guys outside. Remember? I don't want any part of that. They are her plagues because she birthed them with disobedience. Verse 9, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Whew, smelly situation, isn't it? Once again, live deliciously is wanton, luxuriously, wasteful. Bewail means to weep and to sob. Lament means to mourn. And the burning, this is a neat word. Burning means smelting. You know what smelting is, don't you? You don't? Well, you've got a description in the Bible where it talks about turning up the heat and the dross comes to the top. You can skim off. Anybody that's done milk or something, you got a little familiar idea. You just skim off the top and then you get to the real good stuff. Well, there ain't no good stuff here. But smelting is the melting process. She's melted. Remember what we talked about? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? To the pure, they walk in the fire and only the bonds are broken. But to anybody that's not pure, the fat sizzles. Right? And that's what we say here. When they shall see the smoke of her burning. Didn't it say that she lived luxuriously? Well, the luxury is burning right now. Verse 10. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment. Now, you get their position? They're over there wailing and moaning and saying, poor gal. But where are they? They are far off for the fear of her torment. Saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. It took her a lifetime to build. It didn't take God very long to eliminate. That's the point of this scripture. By the way, judgment is a decision for justice. You got that? Does anybody here, unfortunately, we're involved in a country that sets human judges in place, and boy, do they make mistakes. Ooh, they're bad. You know why? Because they don't use God's Word. They try to get them to take the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom when our whole judicial system is based on the Ten Commandments. Common law is the Ten Commandments. How you treat each other, that's common law. What the Constitution is truly based on. Now the reason they're making the wrong decisions is because they don't believe in God's law. They believe in precedents.
They don't believe in absolutes.
No absolutes either. That's true. This judgment, when you're talking about God's judgment, it's like 2 + 2 = 4. It's that simple. There's no variations. There's no unfairness. There's no in my opinions. It's just the way it is. And by the way, when God makes a decision, it's always correct, no matter how we see it. These people were terrified by God's judgments and justice. They were getting what they deserved. They knew that they were to face the same. That's why they were running. They didn't want anything to do with it. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn. Now, wait a minute. Not every merchant of the earth is Antichrist, okay? So don't hear me say that. It's talking about the ones that lived luxuriously with the whore. Did what they want when they want. Let me give you a whorish merchant's golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. Y'all hear that one before? That's a sinful merchant's golden rule. I'll make the rules change so that I can make profit. Has nothing to do with God's law. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. You know, we limit God so much. We don't recognize the fact that He's like a parent that allows us to stumble and fumble and make mistakes and loves us anyway. Do you know that? We don't give Him that honor. Here's another thing we don't do. We don't give Him the ability or recognize His ability to do anything He wants, anytime He wants, and it's right. You know, the children of God were in the wilderness. Do you remember that? And they walked around for 40 years, and they had a whole generation come up from birth to when it was time for the next generation to go into the promised land. Do you remember that? Now, they were in the middle of the wilderness. Now, I don't know that that means totally desert, but there was a lot of desert out there. And it means they weren't in cities and they weren't working. They weren't shopping and they didn't have materials to do, to make clothes, to have food. Now, what am I getting at? I'm telling you, if Trinity was in here and I would ask her about the little one, and I would say, that little one in the next 20 years is going to go through a lot of clothes changes. You're in the wilderness, and you don't have any way to make that children clothes, that child clothes. What are you going to do? You ever think about that? It says their shoes didn't wear out, but it forgot to tell you that their shoes grew. It said their clothes didn't wear out, but it forgot to tell you that the clothes grew with the children. Yeah, that's a bunch of naked children running around until they're 20 years old. And there's no hand-me-downs. So I don't know what else they'd put on. Do you get my point? God, He provided light at night. Why? So they could see? No. They laid down. That was so that you could see anybody approaching. They a cloud in the day. Why? So they could walk in the shade. God's not just interested in providing. He's interested in making it comfortable for you. Just like any good father would. Right here, He has enough. Had enough of this mess. I'm getting tired of your big mouth, you whore. Fat sizzles. I'm getting tired of you men making your own golden rules. Nobody buys anymore. Isn't that what it says? They don't buy anymore. Everybody knows God can do these kind of things. All right, let me ask you one of the questions. How many of you know that God wants to do these kind of things through you? I didn't get quite as many of that time. He really does. Do you understand that you are a son of God? All right, for the women, you are a child of God, not just son means. I had a car, and my dad had a pretty large business over a lot of counties. And it come payday, and it was giving me the obligation to go pay them in. It took all day long. And towards the end of the day, I got to the last stop. One of the foremen came out, and he screamed at me. Where you been? Where have I been? I've been in Iowa Dulce, and I've been in Alice, and I've been in Robstown, and I'm why? Well, he didn't wait for an answer. He just said, you get in this house right now. So I just sat. I just sat there. You couldn't imagine me not obeying, could you? And I just sat, and I started making the checks out. And I was fuming a little bit, but at least he wasn't there to fume at. And he comes out in another minute, opens the door, and he says, I told you to get in this house. You know what I want to tell him? I want to step out and say, do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you're talking to? Now, I'm trying to relate this to you being a child of God. So I was a son of the owner. Therefore, I carried the authority of the owner. Every power that he had, I had. But I didn't hire that man. My dad did. And he was a friend of my dad. So I held my tongue. I let him cool down. When he cooled down and come out and talked to me nice, I went in because I was holding his paycheck. And he finally figured that one out. I didn't have to tell him. When I went in, I didn't act like anything happened. I wrote his paycheck. I went out and got in the car and I went home. But the next thing I did was I went to my dad and I said, Bo did this and this and this and this. And I said, you better handle it or I will. Then you will have to make a decision. I will fire him on the spot the next time, and you will have to decide who's more important, him or me. That's not bad for a 16-year-old kid, is it? Held my cool? Wow. I need longer arms for that, don't I? Who are you? That's all I'm trying to get at. Who are you? And what are you going to take? Because the great whore is going to threaten, already threatening. I mean, I've been threatened more times than you can imagine in church, my church. The world doesn't even bother with me. They're not threatening me because I won't take that. But the church thinks they can get by with it. And you want to say to them, do you know who I am? I'm a son of God. You don't talk to me that way. Can you do that? Can you righteously do that today? You can. You've got God's permission. Now, don't do it against other children. You might hold your tongue and talk back to the dad. Talk back to God and say, you need to handle him. You can do that. The merchants were stopped by God's desires. No one would buy their cargoes anymore. Let me read you. The people that were involved in the earth's business and peddling the way of earth. Earth means fleshly ways. Dirty, fleshly ways. Wept and hurt because all their work to corner the market through the mark of the beast goes down the drain. Now, we're talking about people that have already taken the mark of the beast, by the way. We've covered that already. Now they cannot sell to their own or to Christians. Did you ever think about that side of it? See, the mark of the beast, we always think that that's going to give them freedom to rule and reign. Hey, this scripture says opposite. It says there's going to be a time when it's over. Now they can't sell to their own or to us. Getting tired of the goofy preachers that teach you that it's all going to go their way. Because that's not what the Bible says. Verse 12. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble. In other words, all their junk. All their valuable stuff. It's not junk. Everything valuable and expensive, nobody would buy. Verse 13. And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And souls of men. Do you note that this is thrown in with category of valuables? Do you understand that merchants, evil merchants, the only value you are of, you have no value except what money they can sell you for or make out off of you? The most honest salesman I ever saw was on television in Corpus Christi, Texas one time. He lied through his teeth about selling carpet. That's what he would, every boy on television constantly. I don't bargain Bernie's car, whatever it was, it didn't make a difference. It was a carpet place. But the one thing he said that you can rely on is he'd show his family, it was about a half a dozen kids and his wife, and he says, "I don't want your business, I need your business." See, a businessman would just be honest and tell you that. Now, if you're a businessman, you can't operate that way. Ken, you can't go into somebody's house and make a bid just so it makes you money. You can't do it. Can you do it? You have the ability to do that. Believe me, if you're a contractor, you know that you can rip people off so fast of any kind. You can be a mechanic. You can rip people off. The easiest way to make money is to rip people off. How do you do that? You lie. You exaggerate a bit. You add a little here and add a little there, and you don't tell them the truth. Now, why would I do that? Because the only value you have to me is the money that you can give to me. Souls of men. One other thing. If I'm this big contracting firm now, you work for me, and you work for me, and you work for me, my instruction to you is, now look, when you go out there, inflate that bid 15% somehow. You know how. Just do it. Now I'm not taking from you. I'm using your soul to make me money. Well, I want to work for the car dealership. Well, I got to go learn how to lie. I got to learn how to look straight in your face. I'm giving you the best deal I know how. After I've marked it clear above retail. Souls of men. What's your soul worth? What's someone else's soul worth? If it's only dollar signs, you are of the beast. You are not of God. Jesus said no greater love, which is a primary commandment, you must have love, then you lay your life down for someone else. That's how you'll know they're a Christian, by their love, the Bible says. Not by their dollars. And by the way, does that mean every Christian has to be broke? No, look in the Bible, you'll find out different than that. Just how do you treat people? Are they gold and odors and frankincense and souls? Or are they the most valuable thing on the face of the earth? Another human being. Verse 14, And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. Everything that you thought was valuable and good is gone. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. Who are we talking to? The people with the mark of the beast. And Jesus has not returned yet. He has not already sent people to hell. What we lust for will fail unless it is Jesus, by the way. If the thing that you feel is most important in your life is Jesus, got it made. Verse 15, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls." Behold that city. That's what "alas" means. Behold that used to be. Verse 17, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. In other words, it really didn't make any difference where you were. You knew that it came to an end. I don't care if you're in the middle of the sea. Something happened where you knew. Verse 18. By the way, shipmaster also refers to captain and directorship in the church and government. I thought that interesting. You might like that, William. Shipmaster, when it refers to shipmasters, it really means captains, but then it's reference to directorships in the church and government. So even them, they'll know. They'll know something's up, something's wrong, and we're in deep stuff. Verse 18, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? They will say, we thought this was the correct way to live our life. Was there something better? That's what they're going to be saying. Look at what we thought was valuable. Look at it sizzle. Now what? You know that's going to happen. Now I'm going to tell you, it happens in everybody's life. In everybody's lifespan, this happens. But in the future, one day when Jesus decides, everybody's going to understand at one time. All right, let me say it another way. If there's anyone in here that has not accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord, you will understand that He was Lord all the time. There will come a time in your life. You can reject Him forever. Everybody that's ever rejected Jesus will come to a point in time that they will understand that Jesus was always Lord. Their knee will bow and they will say, we were wrong, you were right. It's better to just go ahead and say you were right now. You are right, Lord. You are righteousness. You are my King. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. I will take no other gods. I will not follow the whore. I will not follow merchants that follow the whore. I will follow you. Verse 19, they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, behold, or alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she has been made desolate. They were mourning over their way of life being destroyed. Their worth and reason for living was to get rich and to be rich. Now what? We are always most uncomfortable when we are not in control. Do you understand that? When we feel we're not in control, we are extremely uncomfortable until we finally learn who is in control. And that brings peace. I talked to you a little bit about giving this morning. Once again, I was reminded last night of a false way of giving. You give to get. That is wrong. What is the outcome of giving? Getting. But you can't give to get. You give because it pleases God. You give because His Word says that's what He wants you to do. You give because you understand that it pleases Him so much that He will give back to you. But that's not the point. The point is that you please Him. All right, let's get off of giving for a second. I've shared this many a time, but I was praying like crazy one time, standing for healing, fighting, battling. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, why do you want to be healed? What do you mean, why do I want to be healed? That's a silly question. God, what kind of silly questions are you asking me? Your word's full of me being healed. Why do you want to be healed? You want it for you or you want it for me? Do you want to be healed to please you or do you want to be healed to please God? Do you want to understand that Jesus paid a tremendous price? It cost Him 33 years of His life, many bruises, many stripes, beard pulled out, beat, ridiculed all of His life, and He did that for sickness and dis-ease. The moment that He died, He paid for your sins. But all the rest of the time, He was paying for your life. A good life. Now, if you don't accept that, you displease Him. Let's say it a different way. If you don't accept that, you make Him feel like, I did this for nothing. All they were interested in was staying out of hell. Let's take advantage of all of Jesus' salvation. Let's do it for one reason. And that includes finances. I want you to prosper. Above all things, I want you to prosper and I want you to be in health. As your soul prospers, kind of gives you some, they're kind of equal there in authority, okay? Above all things, I want these three things in your life. I want you saved, delivered, healed. Delivered from debt, and want, and need. Now that's what Jesus wants. You have two choices. You can want that, or you can want what Jesus wants. One is dangerous, one is safe. It just seems like a hair difference, but it's a tremendous difference. One is safe. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Or am I kind of chasing my tail here? I'll say it six more ways if I am. Want what Jesus wants. Lay back in Jesus' want. Then go to His Word. Fall back in His arms, then look at His Word. Don't look at His Word and then ask Him for His Word. Let me tell you the difference. When you fall back in Jesus and read His Word, He'll show you what you can get as you can handle it. If you go into the Word, you'll get hunks of raw meat that you can't swallow yet. And you'll go off on tangents. I feel like I confused you big time now. Who's the author of the Word? Then what's complicated about this? Let me get a little taller so that I can say this. Ask the guy that wrote it where you should be reading. Is that complicated? Well, you're supposed to go to the little bread box and get the things and read all. Go to the bread. Go to the source. And what will happen is He'll give you the promises as you not only need them, but as you can handle them. You know, I had two kids. I had this one and this one. And they're nowhere alike. When they started off, they weren't alike. This one, she's normal. This one was weird. I'm talking about when they were little. 10 pounds, 8 ounces. 9 pounds and 14 ounces. This one ate everything you'd shove in his face. This one was a little more particular. This one was so hungry that he'd drive you nuts if you didn't just put a funnel in and pour. So we'd take, he was 2 months old, he was eating, drinking 64 ounces a day and eating table food. So every time we ate, we just took grinders and ground it up and stuffed it in his mouth because otherwise you didn't get any peace. Now I'm trying to tell you, this one was pretty normal. But I'm telling you, the parent is the one that is in charge of giving what you don't even, this one was just screaming. We had to decide what was best for him to eat. This one would scream once in a while too. We had to decide what was best for her to eat. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus is the one that knows what you want. You're crying out. He decides what you need at the time. Trust Him. Trust Him as you read the Word. Don't read the Word and then try to trust Him. Because what will happen is that I'll read you, I'll come up here with a scripture that God's blessing my socks off, and you'll grab that scripture and try to run with it. It was mine. At that moment, it was mine. You should be coming up here and saying, oh, look what God gave me. Whoa. Look at this. I'm strong. Why? You know why they ate different? They got different job descriptions. You get that? We're not all created equal. In the kingdom, you've got your job and I've got mine. You've got yours and you've got yours. And it may take different word to back up what God has for you to do. That's why you want to go to the author. Not only of the book, but your life. Jesus gave you your life. Ask Him what He wants you to do with the life that He gave you. And as soon as He tells you, then He'll give you the right food to back up that. You've got to have the strength to do it. You know that, don't you? I got encouraged last night because I met a guy that was growling like I was. And he encouraged me in the fact that that was okay. He said something that I've said in the back room, now I'll say in public. For the ministry that's going to go in here, we don't have room for real weak people. You know that? I said weak. Let me tell you how I can back that up. God hates the effeminate. Did you know that? The Bible says God hates the effeminate. The word translated means the soft, the ushy-gushy love. I've told you before, guys, if you see me out in the middle of a lake and I've fallen through the ice, don't give me poems. Get out on the ice and help me. I don't want your ooshy-gooshy. I don't want you talking about my past. I don't want you saying how good anybody else has been to me or my parents love me or we love you from afar. I don't need that. The world doesn't need that anymore. They need somebody that will lay their life down for you, for them. They need us. That's all I'm talking about, that soft, ooshy-gooshy stuff. It won't work. I was in that church last night, and there was a poster called The Lion of Judah. Remember, Bill? That was a pussycat. That was no lion. It had nice little curled hair. It looked like he'd just been to the hairdresser. It had jewelry on. It was a kitty cat. And I thought, that's not my lion in the tribe of Judah. It never has been, and I won't accept that. It had nice colors. It was so beautiful. Oh, goodness alive. You know what? I want the kind of love that can hold somebody, but at the same time speak truth in their ear. You know, see, that y'all keep moving back to people I use, but won't do any good. My memory still works. Chuck and Tanya called us over Sunday night. They were having some struggles. And I didn't want to go. I got to tell you something. I didn't want to go. I was pooped. And they talked and they talked, and I'm just going, when are they going to wear down? I'm already dead. You know. And I was, I'm not going to apologize, but I was rather abrupt. When I finally got a word in, I said, you guys are just, all you do is talk condemnation. And I said, Tanya, you'd make a good poster child for the devil. No, Stan, you can't talk like that. Well, why don't you ask them what happened? You know what? You ever seen this stuff? You get somebody panicking. You know why? You got to get their attention sometimes. They've gone off somewhere and they've lost reality. Reality is the Word of God, by the way. And sometimes with your word, you must slap me back into existence, into reality. Now, we didn't leave it there, by the way. She's not a poster child for the devil. I was just trying to get her attention. Like a person drowning. Yeah, sometimes you've got to be real rough or they'll drown you in the process. They'll take you down. Tanya's a good lady. She's not a poster child for the devil. But she, when I reminded her of that, she figured that one out. Right? I got to quit talking that way. I wasn't being mean to my wife this morning. I could have said the same thing to her. What are you going to do? Take a billboard out and say we're losers? Start saying what God says about you. That's the truth. Listen. I'm going to stop there. I talk too much about other things. We'll get back to it. It'll still be there. In everybody's life today, that word is true. Let me tell you something about God's word. It brings, how can I say this? You remember I told you recently that what was A yesterday would be F today? You remember that? What that thing that I gave you? Let me say it another way. What you used to get by with, the Word of God changes that. Were you bad then? No, no, no. No, no. You were God's little angel then. You're God's little angel now if you'll just keep changing. That's God, see. That's the neat part about Him is that I could... I knew a guy one time that come in my store. He'd been born again miraculously. I mean mightily. It's just amazing. You could see the change. And he'd come in cussing a blue storm, blue streak, smoking, saying awful things, cheating people, and you're going, God. And God would just say, leave him alone. And that guy just changed and changed and changed and changed and changed right in front of my eyes. I saw metamorphosis. And it became reality to me that he was saved on his way to heaven. He was perfect in God's eyes the minute he took Jesus as his Savior. But he wasn't perfect in mine. But by the way, I'm not the judge. Because God's not going to call me up beside that man come judgment day and say, what do you say about him? Now, you can say praise God. Because I am, because you're not going to be there with me. There's one other person that won't be there, and that's the accuser. He's gone. By the way, if I would stand beside you at Judgment Day and say, but Jesus, you don't know what He did back there, I've just become the accuser. You know what I want? I want Chuck and Tanya and I want everybody in this place that's being changed from week to week. I want you just to silently thank God for that. Thank God for that. Were you failing last Sunday night? No. No. You were not failing Sunday night. You were just a little unmotivated at the moment. But in God's eyes, you know what you were doing? You were doing something that was A+. You were calling out for help. That's A+ in God's eyes. When you don't feel like you can handle it, you give somebody the ability to lay their life down for you. And then there's a double blessing. Right? Right? And once again, I'll remind you that there will be that day that you will stand before God. And I got some news for you as we go on. There's going to be a certain way that God judges. And in case you think that Christians will be judged, they won't be. They won't be judged. So I'm correcting myself right here in front of you. You will not stand in front of God unless you're a sinner to be judged. Because if you are, your name is in the book of life, there is no more judgment to be made. You know that? The problem is if your name is not written in the... There's two books, according to Revelation. If your name is not written in the book of life, then it's written over here, and not only that, everything you've done is written. Not as a Christian, everything is written. No, no, no. If you're a sinner, everything that you've done is written, and it will be revealed. And you will suffer judgment, stages of judgment, by what's written in that book. Not Christians. Doesn't say that about Christians. Do you understand the most that you can do as a Christian is say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's the height of servanthood. Well, I thought it had to do with how many souls you win. No. I thought it had to do with how hard you work. No. Well, how many hours you read the Bible. No. Or how much time you spend praying. No. No. God's looking for one prayer in your spirit. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Why? Because that's what the greatest servant of all said for you and I. And He said the things that you'll do, I mean that I did, you'll do also even more. Everybody here willing to say that to Jesus Christ today? If not, we got time to pray. Everybody know Jesus Christ as their Savior? Number two, everybody know Jesus Christ as their Lord. Two different things. Then we don't need to pray for you, right? About that. Anybody have anything they want us to pray about? All hearts clear? Or have you got a burden we need to pray about? Or is this Ken's month to be saved? Private joke. Oh, it's not the first. Okay. That's what you're asking for?
Yeah.
Okay. We shouldn't have to do this, but do we know that God's interested in our work? Okay. Then why don't we just agree in Jesus' name that He'll have work? And it keeps getting better. Doesn't lag time and doesn't lose money. And okay, anything else? Okay. Fight the good fight. Anybody in here ever been in a fight? See, how long did it last? 1 second? A while? Yeah. Remember that about fights. That most of the time, remember a couple of things. I want to see miracles, but understand that Jesus did miracles for the sinner. He did healing for His own. Because miracles prove there is a God. We don't need that proof. Our instruction, Marcia, and everybody in here, is that we walk in health. That's the fight. Well, I don't feel like it. That's the fight. Say it anyway. I'm healed. How do I know that? Jesus told me I was. You know, the picture that when you said that, the picture that hit me was that the Jesus on the cross took that pain so that you wouldn't have to. I saw him hurt because so that you wouldn't have to. He took it. Everybody agree with that analysis of what happened? Because that's truth. Then we agree that you're healed. Everybody's in agreement that she is healed and she walks in health, right? All right. Didn't you raise your hand? Monica?